Good morning, church family. This is your brother, Kenan Tyag, and I'll be doing scripture reading. Today's scripture comes from Philippians 3, verse 13 and 14, and it says, "No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen."
Good morning, church family. This is Pastor Elson. Today's message is entitled R&R in Our Journey. It has been 16 days, 16 new steps towards this journey we call 2021. As you look at the church bulletin, the cover, you see one year is behind 2020. 2021 is right in front of us. And as we have already taken 16 steps towards this new journey. What is RR stands for? After we decided to entitled our message R&R in Our Journey, we realized that R&R is actually very popular. It has is an acronym that is very used in English in many different ways. Sometimes it refers to spend time to rest and relaxing from working. Sometimes it means rest and recreation. In the military, R&R is an abbreviation for rest and recuperation. I have a list here, but I'm not going to read all of them because it's a huge, long, very long list. But I'm going to give you just a taste of some examples how R&R is used in English. Of course, it's very common. The young people know this. Rock and roll. In music, R&R. Also, it is used as rules and regulations. Is an acronym also for resource and referral. Read and review. Read and relax. Rate and review. Reverse and repeat. Is also used as a gauge for the industry when they repeat and how is reproduced. Repair and return. Repair and replace. Remove and replace also is used to remove and reinstall. If you're talking about computer softwares, it's also recruitment and retention. Human resources use that expression, that acronym. They also use the acronym for reward and recognition. The acronym also may stand for relief and rehabilitation. Revise and resubmit if you are doing new publishing. Resettlement and rehabilitation in India. NASA used rendezvous and recovery. Run and rate is used also rest and recreation, as we mentioned before. Repair and restoration. Many organizations use this acronym. Response and recovery. FEMA use response and recovery. NASA, retention and release. Rescue and recovery. NASA use that one also. Roles and responsibility. Refit and repair. Refuse and routine. Receive and release. They use that terminology in prison. And the list goes on and on and on. We also decided to look for the word journey. Because it knows, in English, many words that we use today, sometimes we do a disservice to ourselves because we use them in our daily lives, but we never really understand where they came from. For example, the word journey. Where does the word come from? What is the etymology of the word journey? How was this word put together? Did it have a different meaning before? Let's look into it. Some of you may not speak French, but you have heard many times, bonjour, bonjour mademoiselle, bonjour mon ami. And you keep wondering, what is bonjour all about? Or, buongiorno, buongiorno principessa. Or, bon dia, señor, bon dia, señora. Buenos dias, señor, buenos dias, señora. Those expressions, different languages, but they mean exactly the same thing, good day. But we noticed that as we study for this message, that actually they were not talking about a whole journey. They were talking about a day journey. You see, many centuries ago when this word was taken from Latin, brought into French, and from French to English, the meaning of the word journey, it was a day journey. Because everybody would get up very early in the morning and they would travel to go to work, to their farm, or sometimes to go for a hunt, for a hunting trip. And so when the people would say to a person early in the morning, good journey, or bonjour, or buongiorno, bon dia, buenos dias, all that the person was saying is, I hope you have a safe trip. I hope this day will be a good journey for you. It was a daily journey. It was not referring to a long journey, but just today. As we mentioned before, it comes to my mind that a beautiful song that I hear almost every Sabbath. I hear this song, One Day at a Time. As a Christian, our journey is just one day at a time, a day journey. So when somebody tells you the next time, buenos dias, or good day, ma'am, good day, sir, they actually meant, may today be a blessing to you. May today be a good day for you. And for us Christians, we must get up every day and we must say to ourselves, it would be nice if you look at the mirror and tell yourself, good day, sir. Today is going to be a good day. Start the day, start the journey with the right attitude, believing that it will be a good day. But as I was studying the word, I noticed all the words in our English language that sometimes we no longer know exactly the meaning of it because it has becoming used in such a different way. For example, the word journal, the newspaper, the word they use for magazine. Why would a newspaper call a journal? Because the role of the newspaper was to be informing the people, the daily news, what took place in that particular day. Unfortunately today, where the word journal, the word journalism comes from, journalism was supposed to be a person who daily report what took place in that particular day. But today journalism has taken a different meaning. I don't even know if we do have even journalism, if journalism is not completely dead, because today people are making the news instead of reporting the news. Also the word a journal. Many of us know that a journal is a daily record of news or things that happens in our lives that we keep writing them. Or like a diary. So R&R and journey has a different meaning in the world. But what is the meaning of A&R in our own journey, our spiritual journey? I put together seven groups of R&R in our journey towards our destination, our final destination. First, let's start with the first group. The group number one that we put together is entitled Repent and Restore. Those two goes together. Many people think that you can get repent without restoration. It's not possible. It's not true repentance. The word repent, it means to think new, to shape your thoughts. Many problems can be made, can make our journey very difficult. One of them is too much weight. Some of you have this idea when you go for a short trip, sometimes just a day trip, and you pack like you are going for a whole month or a whole year. Sometimes you by the way you see the people packing, looks like they are going for they are not even planning to come back. That's one of the problems. Sometimes we go for our journey and we try to carry too much weight. And nothing is more heavier. Nothing is heavier in our spiritual journey than a sin. Especially those sins that have been getting old and very fat inside of our luggages. And instead of getting rid of it, we keep feeding it. And it's getting heavier and heavier. So Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, it tells us when Jesus Christ, after the temptation, after the 40 days of quarantine, the 40 days after his baptism, he spent 40 days in the desert preparing for his mission, his ministry. He says that after he came out of that 40 days and 40 nights, that we know there was a temptation going on there, Satan tried to test him. This is what the Bible says. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. When I don't mention the translation, it's because it's the New King James, okay? If it's a different, I will mention. It says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and say, and what was the first word that came out of his mouth in every sermon that he preached? Repent. It's time to think different. It's time to turn around. It's time to not going in one direction, but turn into the right direction. Why? Because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And we cannot afford to go in the wrong direction. So he says, repent. Now I notice that the Bible says that his disciples did exactly the same thing. The beginning of every message, the first word that will come from their mouth was repent. An invitation to be different, to turn around. That was the same thing that John the Baptizer did before Jesus. It was what Jesus did, it was what the disciples did, it was what the Apostle Paul did. You can find that in Acts 17, verse 30, which says, truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked. In other words, God is not going to look into the time when you did not know. But now that you know, he says, but now commands all men and women everywhere to repent. In order for you to begin the journey, you need to make sure that you don't go in the right direction. And for you to go in the right direction, you have to make a U-turn. You have to repent. Now, Jesus, after he went to heaven, now that Jesus glorified in heaven, he spoke to the first church, Ephesus. And we find that in Revelation chapter 2, verse 5. Jesus said, an advice that he gave to the first church, he says, remember. Remember, therefore, from where you were fallen. And here comes the word, repent. And do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless, again the word, repent. Jesus is telling the first church, you were on fire when you were baptized. You have really love for the cause, love for God. You have a holy life. But what happens? As you start your journey, you fall asleep. Something happened. And you no longer produce the first works that you had before. Change, repent. It's time to change quickly before it's too late. Before you end up being removed. The solution is to repent. Now, the Bible talks about restitution. There's no repentance without restitution. In Exodus chapter 22, verse 1, a New Century Version, it says like this, if a man steals a bull, or ox, or a sheep, and kills it or sells it, he must pay back 5 bulls for the one he stole, and 4 sheep for the one he took. Then we find another beautiful story that tells us exactly what restitution is all about. So when we repent, we must restore. But if we repent, in order to have a repentance, we must have a restitution. In Luke chapter 19, verse 1 to 10, we have this beautiful story about a very rich man. I remember when we used to sing this to our children about a man that climbed a tree. It says here that Jesus, when he entered, he was passing through Jericho. You know, Jericho is down by the Jordan. After he passed Jericho, you go up the hills to go to Jerusalem. So Jesus was passing through Jericho as he did many times before, but this time was unique. This time, it was probably the last time he was passing through Jericho. As he passed through Jericho, there was a tax. They always have to pay tax. But this time, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was the chief tax collector. He was not just a tax collector, but he was a chief tax collector. And what's unique about this man is this says that he was very rich. But also, what we all know, he was also very short. So short that when he tried to come close to the multitude that was around Jesus Christ, he could not see Jesus. By the way, he heard about Jesus many times. He heard about the miracles. Even though he had not met him personally, he knew about him. And so this time the Holy Spirit touched him and told him, Zacchaeus, this is it. This is the time. Go for it. And Zacchaeus came. But as he came close, he couldn't see. So he says, you know what? He could have given up. He could have said, maybe next time he passed through. There was not going to be a next time. And the Holy Spirit told him, it's now, Zacchaeus, it's now. And brothers and sisters, let me make a pause here to say how many times you heard this, the Holy Spirit telling you, now. There will be not tomorrow. It has to be now. And may the Holy Spirit be me talk to you right now and saying, it is now. Now is the time. So Zacchaeus did. He went ahead. He projected. He says, you know what? If he's coming this direction, he's going to go that way. And he went ahead. And he went and found a tree, a sycamore tree, and he climbed a tree. And he says, I'm going to be up now above everybody with the help of a tree. In the Calvary was a tree that made it possible for us also to be able to see Jesus. So he climbed the tree and he stayed there waiting patiently, and the crowd keeps coming closer and closer. And believe me, the Bible, the story doesn't tell me, but I can imagine. People start looking up, and I can see that people are laughing. You have this very rich man at the tree. And I could see that probably someone was making ridicule of him. It didn't look very nice, a chief tax collector, a very rich man, climbed the tree like a kid, a child. But you know, brothers and sisters, when we need to see Jesus, when the Holy Spirit touches our hearts, we act like a child, innocent like a child. Because when we are thirsty for the truth, we are like children. Innocent, pure. And he was at that time. He was up in that tree. And the multitude came. And Jesus came. And Jesus saw. And Jesus approached. And I approached the place and looked up and saw him there. The little man, the rich man. And he knew his name. Everybody did. He said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Brothers and sisters, have you heard Jesus speaking to you before and ask you to be hurry up and come down from that place where you put yourself up to think that you are so important? He said, come down. For today, a journey, remember? Today, I must stay at your house. Brothers and sisters, I remember the day when Jesus Christ came and talked to me and told me, today, I must be in your house. I hope you remember that day. As Jesus spoke to Ephesus, remember your first love. So he made haste, Zacchaeus did, and he came down. And he received him, and the Bible says, with a joy like a child, full of joy, joyfully. But then, the same crowd that was keeping Zacchaeus from seeing Jesus was blocking his way. Now they decide to do something else. They decide to criticize Jesus himself. Yes, they were all around Jesus, like they were pretending to be interested in Jesus. But look what they say. When they saw what Jesus did, they complained. And they said, he has gone to be a guest of a man who is a sinner. Why is he not with us? We are good ones. But no, he's going to be with a sinner. In verse 8, it says, of chapter 19, it says, then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord. Now, verse 8 is starting to imply that Jesus Christ already came in to his house. He already washed his feet, his hands. He already probably got a cup of water, everything to drink. And was sitting at the table. The food was about to be served, and then Zacchaeus stood. Probably stood on a platform, or so that everybody, because there were a group of people there. Zacchaeus and Jesus were not by themselves. And then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give. He did not say, I will give. He said, I give half of my goods to the poor. Today, just like Jesus said to him, today I will stay in your house. He says, now I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. Brothers and sisters, when you truly come to Christ like a child, possessions are no longer that important, because you found the most precious jewel that you can ever have in your life. And Zacchaeus not only gave evidence that he repented from his sins, but he was ready to make restitution. In chapter verse 19, verse 9, he says, and Jesus said to him, to Zacchaeus, again the same expression, today salvation has come to this house because he, Zacchaeus, also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. What is amazing about this today is that basically what Jesus was saying, he says, today I came to Zacchaeus' home, his heart, and I'm going to stay here not only for today, but forever. Because truly, this man is also a son of Abraham. He was lost, but now he's saved. I did some study to find out what is the meaning of the name Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is from the Greek Zacchaeus, which comes from the Hebrew Zakai. Literally, it means pure, innocent. A man that was labeled by his fellow man as a sinner actually carried a name that meant pure, innocent. In Hebrew, the Zakar word means was clean, was pure. Yes, Zacchaeus became true to his name. He became a pure, innocent man because he was forgiven. And then he was ready to make restitution. The second group that we have, it is reject and receive. I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. I'll be reading from the New Century Version. Proverbs 28, verse 13. It says like this, if you hide your sins, you will not succeed. If you confess and reject your sins, you will receive mercy. The secret here is to reject, you are to receive. It's like you have something in your hand. Unless you give that out, you won't have a place to receive anymore because your hand will be occupied. So the secret is you must give in order to receive. Just like the beautiful story my brother James brought today. You must give in order to receive. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, and he will forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all our unrighteousness. And that's exactly what Zacchaeus experienced. The moment that he repent, the moment that he reject his sins, his old way of life, he received mercy. He received compassion. He received the presence of Christ in his life. His journey became a right journey. Why? Because now he did not have to carry all that garbage, all those sins that he had, all that weight that he has on his shoulders. Now let's move to the group number 3. Renew and reflect. In our journey, the Holy Spirit will make us aware of our need to be changed. If we are not open for the Holy Spirit, our journey will not start well. So the Holy Spirit helps us to guide us how to prepare for our journey. And one of the preparation is we need to change. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23 to 24, I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. It talks about the need to renew. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. It says in verse 23, instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Oh, brothers and sisters, don't start your journey with bad thoughts, with bad attitudes. The Holy Spirit needs to shape up your thoughts and your attitudes, because your thoughts and your attitudes will determine what direction you go in your journey. That's why it's so vital that before you start your journey, that the Holy Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. And then the Holy Spirit will help you to put on a new nature, created to be like God. truly righteous and holy, then your path will be proper and your journey will be certain. And you will get to your destination. And Christ will be there with his open arms to receive you. We must reflect. We must renew and we must reflect our new life. Galatians 2, chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, Paul said. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Brothers and sisters, since you were baptized, are you reflecting the Savior that you accept when you repent, when you confess, repent, and you were baptized? Can people see Christ reflecting in your actions and everything you do? When you say, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, do they see Christ in you? And the life, Paul says, in the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. When Christians go around say, me, 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 something's wrong with that picture. They are not reflecting the image of Christ, because Christ came as a servant, even though he is God himself. But he took our human nature and he gave himself in our sake, for our sake. He came and took our humanity to inspire us to take his divinity, for us to be like him. He wants to restore that image of God that we lost because of sin. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, the Bible says, beloved, now we are children of God. Have you heard that expression? Like son, like father, like son, like daughter, like mother. We need to reflect. We should look alike. We need to reflect. And the verse continues saying, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Yes, it will come a time when we look in the mirror and we won't be able to see ourselves, but we will be able to see Christ in us. Number four, resist and response. Many people are using the terminology resist in order to be rebellious against rules, in order to be aggressive. But the word to resist and to respond in the context of our journey towards the kingdom, it may mean something else different. How good are you at being prepared? Are you the type of person that have a self-discipline and is always ready in every circumstance? Or you are the type of a person who, you know, go with the flow type. And sometimes you even consider being prepared a useless concept, really a waste of time. Being unprepared, for some, it is an accident. But for some, it's just a norm. Some people are unprepared all the time for everything. They are lazy. They have no respect for themselves and to those that they associate with. As we stated before, many problems can make our journey very difficult. Another of them is a lack of preparation. How many things do not succeed in life just because people do not care enough to prepare for it? Lack of preparation will turn us into a very easy prey for adversity. Some people say, oh, I have a bad luck. No, you don't have a bad luck. You have a bad attitude. Some people say, oh, everything goes wrong for me. Goes wrong because you never prepare for anything. You cannot sit in front of the piano and start playing like a maestro if you have never practiced. Those people that succeed in life is because they prepare. They invest time. We also know that the life is spontaneous and that sometimes there are many things that happen that takes us completely by surprise. We know those things. There are some factors like this, but we never see it coming. And when it comes, we are not prepared for it. That those things do happen. Like they say in French, c'est la vie. Those things do happen. But that should not be an excuse for us to use just because we are lazy. Laziness is a very dangerous thing for anyone. Benjamin Franklin said this, by failing to prepare, you are preparing to fail. That is simple as that. James 4 verse 7 talks about the importance for us to resist in the context of spirituality. He says, therefore, submit to God. Here is the key tool. If you want to have power to resist the devil, the power is called submission. Submit to God. Surrender your will to God. And God will take care of your worst enemy, which is the devil. Then you will be able, he'll give you the power to resist the devil, and the devil will leave you alone. To resist, you must submit. That is a very strange concept in our culture, because people are afraid of the word submission. They actually, this says that it's humiliating. It's a word that nobody likes, yet is the word that we must need. We won't be able to start our journey. We won't be able to get anywhere in our journey, your spiritual journey, unless we submit ourselves to God. Then we'll be able to progress in our journey. Matthew chapter 4 tells us how Jesus used, how was his response, how did he resist. And we must know and learn this technique. His technique was, in verse 4, he says, it is written. That was his power. That was his tool. He prepared himself. That's how he knew that it was written. Jesus could not stand before the devil and says, excuse me, give me time. Let me Google to see what should I say in this circumstance. Now it was clear in his mind. He prepared, so he has a response. It is written. Verse 7, another temptation, he says, it is written again. Verse 10, another temptation, he says, away with you, Satan, for it is written. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18, New Living Translation. Since he himself, talking about Jesus, has gone through suffering and testing, he, Jesus, is able to help us when we are being tested in our journey. Don't go in your journey without Christ, right beside you. Because with him, we can get to our destination. Without him, we will not get anywhere. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things. It says all. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now my power doesn't come from me, doesn't come from my degrees, doesn't come to how much I have, how much I will get. Now my power comes from who controls my life, and that is Christ. He is the one who gives me the strength that I need. Alexander Graham Bell said this, before anything else, preparation is the key to success. Don't forget that, my brothers and sisters. Number 5, remember and rejoice. When you take the time for your journey, you must take time to remember. There are a few things that you must remember. You cannot afford to forget. There are things in our journey that we cannot leave behind. How many times people go on a trip and says after they drive a few miles, says, oh, we have to go back home because I forgot this. There are things in life that we cannot forget. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. I'm looking now to you, kid, to you young people. I'm going to talk to you now. The Lord tells you, if you're going on a trip, you must remember who is your creator. Yes, you must remember him now. The days when you think that you are invincible, when you have all this energy, you have all these looks and everything else. Says today, remember who is your creator. Remember Abba in the days of your youth. Before the difficult days come, all brothers and sisters, you are young, you are beautiful, you look in the mirror and you think, wow. But those days, those things, they all fade away. The only thing will not fade away if you have Christ, your creator, in your heart. That is the guarantee. That is the ticket to perfection. Don't leave home without it. And the years will draw near when you will say, I have no pleasure in this life anymore. So, brothers and sisters, you young people, remember your creator. Don't forget. Don't go anywhere without your creator. You cannot afford to leave him behind. In Luke chapter 17, verse 32, there is a very short advice. It's actually a very short Bible text, but with a lot of wisdom and a lot of guidance, because it only says, remember Lot's wife. That's all it says. Luke 17:32, remember Lot's wife. One single sentence, powerful to create a whole series, a whole sermon. Basically, don't look back. When you start your journey, don't let anything distract you. Don't value anything else besides the goal that you have before you. You must keep going. Don't look back. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 to 11, it says, remember the Abba's day. Remember the Sabbath day. Basically, in this commandment, God is saying, remember who you are. When you have needs, remember, I am your Father. I will provide for you. So every seventh day, you must be remind yourself who you are, who created you, who will sustain you, who died for you. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Because if you keep the Sabbath holy, God is there, because only God's presence can make it holy. If God is there and he's holy, you become holy also. Luke 22, verse 19. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Don't forget who you are. Don't forget who created you. Don't forget who redeemed you. Don't forget. Remember. Deuteronomy 8, verse 18, New Living Translation, just the first part, it says, remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful. When you receive your check, remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful. When you buy a house, remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful. When it comes the time for you to give to the church, remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful. Remember him in everything, and you will be successful. Now, Psalms 97, verse 12, gives us commandment. It says, rejoice in the Lord, you righteous. Oh, yes, the unrighteous, they don't rejoice in the Lord. So it has to be the righteous. He has been talking about you and I. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. Beautiful. Philippians 4, verse 4, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. By the way, there's no time for you to come to the church with the long faces or go around with long faces, because you should be rejoicing always. No matter what happened, you must rejoice always. Group number 6. We almost done. Group number 6. Reward and regret. At the end of every journey, there is always a meeting between those two words, reward or regret. If you made a preparation, if you repent, if you took all the R's and R's there was needed for this journey, when you get to the end, there will be a reward and not a regret. But if you try to be lazy or try to carry too much weight in your trip, at the end may be a regret. James 1, verse 12, New Century Version says, when people are tempted and still continue strong, they should be happy. They should rejoice. After they have proved their faith, God will reward them with life forever, eternal life. God promised this to all those who love him. In Matthew 25, verse 1 to 13, Jesus talks about two groups of people, two types of members. He talks about the members that are foolish and the members that are wise. In every church, there is those two types of members. Those people that carry the Bible under their arms but never open the Bible, and those that carry the Bible under their arm and constantly read the Bible. Their Bible is almost falling apart because it's been used so much. And there are those that carry their Bible. Their Bible is almost brand new every time. It went year after year and the Bible is still brand new because it's never been used. So one group, the wise one, is the ones who takes the Bible but also takes an extra portion of the Holy Spirit with them. They take extra oil. But the foolish are those that says, no, only the Bible, the Bible only. I don't need anything else. But they don't take oil with them as they go in their journey. And then as they travel in their journey, their objective is to find the Lord of Lords, the bridegroom that is coming. And he's coming at midnight. And behold, he is coming. And here comes. It's time for the wise and for the foolish to come to the realization, yes, we arrived. It is the time. But then the foolish realize, oops, I didn't prepare myself well, did I? That's why they are foolish. Oh, by the way, they look at the wise. He says, would you give us some of yours? It is amazing today, even in our own country, there are all those that comes in the time of Christ. They says they want what belongs to somebody else. Give me something that they have not worked for. But those that have worked, they are prepared. So the foolish tells the wise, give us some of your oil, some, just a little bit, for our lamps are going out. But the wise, and that's why they are wise, he says, no, we can't. Because if we give to you part of what we have, we all of us will be without it. Go and buy. Look for a place where you can buy. So they went, and that's why they were foolish, because they didn't realize there was no time anymore. So they went anyway, and the bridegroom came. And those that were ready, They went in with him. They were received by him. And those that were not, the door was shut, and they were rejected. Verse 11 says, afterward the other, the foolish ones came and said, Lord, Lord, oh Lord, open the door for us. But the Lord said, assuredly, I say to you, I have no idea who you are. I do not know you. Either reward or regret. Brothers and sisters, today I'm speaking to you. So is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to you. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Prepare yourself well for this journey. You needed to see reward, to receive reward, not regret. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day or the hour when the Son of Man is coming. And finally, in conclusion, rest and recreation. From dust to glory. I was looking. I came to a realization that many thousands and thousands and thousands of people have died. Some of them, they died with the hope that they will see Christ again. So they are just resting. And some people died without any hope. In Matthew 11, verse 28, the Bible says, come to me, all who labor and are ready and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Those that of us may not be alive when Jesus Christ comes, we may be falling asleep, but we will be just resting. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 and 55, Paul says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We all not go to our rest, but we all for sure will be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead, the one who is resting, will rise without corruption. And we all shall be changed, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that was written, death is swallowed up in victory. I call that the day the death will have its final funeral. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. I have fought the good fight, Paul says, and I hope that you make this your words. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all of you, my brothers and sisters, that love his appearing. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16 to 18. And now to conclude, brothers and sisters, the biblical prophecy provides us some great encouragement and hope throughout the Bible. Just in the Old Testament, what we call Old Testament, the first portion of the Bible, There are so many prophecies concerning Christ's first advent, first coming. So both statements are filled with references of the second coming of Christ. You know that there are 929 chapters in the first portion of the Bible, and there are 260 chapters in the New Testament, the second portion, which makes 1,189 chapters, an average of 18 chapters per book. Psalms 117 is the shortest chapter. It's also the middle chapter of the entire Bible. One scholar has estimated that there are 1,845 references of Christ's second coming in the first portion of the Bible, what we call Old Testament, where 17 books give it prominence in the 260 chapters of the New Testament. There are 318 references to the second advent of Christ. It is amazing, brothers, how much the Bible pays attention and talks about the second coming of Christ. More than 2,000 times, almost 2,500 times, it makes reference to the second coming of Christ. We have enough evidence. We have enough information. There is no reason for us not to be prepared for this awesome journey towards the kingdom. Jesus Christ said about his journey, he says, I'm going to prepare a place and I'm coming back to take you home. And he will find you in your journey if you take the right steps. And the Lord bless you, my brother and sister, and give you the awareness of his very soon coming. And when he comes, I hope he has a reward for you. If you do receive that reward, if you do receive that ticket, I hope to see you at the right side of the tree of life at 3:00. I'll see you there. God bless.
And now it's time for the hymn of affirmation. This is Sister Dawn and Sister Donya Tayag. Hymn number 602, first, second, and third stanza. O brother, be faithful. Will come, for whom we have waited so long. Oh, soon we shall enter our glorious home and join in the conqueror's song. Oh, brother, be faithful, for why we should prove unfaithful to him who hath shown such deep, such unbounded and infinite love, who died to redeem us his own. O brother, be faithful, the city of gold, prepared for the good and the blessed, is waiting its portals of pearl to unfold, and welcome thee into thy rest. Then, brother, be faithful, not long shall we serve in weariness here and forlorn. And dark night of sorrow is wearing away, we haste to the glorious morn. O brother, be faithful, he soon will descend, creation's omnipotent king, while legions of angels his chariot attend, and palm wreaths of victory breathe. O brother, be faithful, and soon shalt thou hear done, faithful servant, thy title is clear. You enter thy joy of the Lord.
By now, being made free from sin and having become servants of God, you have your fruit of sanctification and the result of eternal life. I hope in this journey, my brothers and sisters, you take to heart the mission that our church has as a group. And our mission is to put God first, to serve others, and to make disciples. Let's pray. May the Lord bless you because you chose to be His child. Because He sent His Son to die in your place and redeemed you. Because you have repented. Because you have restored. Because you have resisted. Because you have remembered. Because there is a reward for you. And because you have taken the time to take steps always towards Jesus Christ, may the Lord always show you the path. And when the end comes, may you find yourself in His arms forever. In the name of Christ we ask, amen.